Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half of the show, Scott Aukerman comes in here between two ferns as director and all that. Funny guy, but he made me laugh. But boy, this thing I did with Dr. Drew, I started crying. I was laughing so hard. All credit goes to Bald Brian. So that is coming. First, Tommy John, a lot of underwear brands out there claim big comfort. So why are 75% of men and women dissatisfied with their underwear? They haven't tried Tommy John. Over 7 million pairs sold. 96% of the customer, they get it. 96% of the customers rate them 4 stars or more. So everybody loves Tommy John. Legs never ride up. Waistbands never roll down. They got the horizontal quick draw fly. I'm wearing mine right now. You will never go back to whatever you wore before Tommy John. That is a promise I'm making you. I cannot wear other underpants. I'm ruined for them now because of Tommy John. Great for working out, great for riding, great for running, great for hanging, just everything. It's all back by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. And they make the feather light stuff for the women, too, so there's no panty line. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam now to get 20% off your first order, plus learn about special back-to-school discounts for college students and teachers. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
I think the map and the gold, it's real.
How well you know the story of survival?
Coming soon from Wayland Productions.
Your mom was a very secretive person. She left out details. It just never turned into German. All I could think about was the gold. And it was like a drug. A dream. An incredible rush.
We're alive. Gold Rush.
Coming September 10th on Apple Podcasts. Brought to you by Podcast One.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the director of Between Two Ferns, the movie, Scott Aukerman. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and RJ Bell calls in with his week 2 NFL picks. And now, excited about all the new features of the iPhone 11 that won't work for him. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing with a friend, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
This is our safe space, bitches.
Yeah, Dawson, that's coming up. If someone can get me a highlighter, that would be helpful.
Here's one.
I brought mine out of the room. Wow, that's Gina Grant. If I could just get a large right titty about now.
One sec.
Scott Aukerman coming in, director of Two Ferns, the movie. And now, the movie Between Two Ferns, the movie. Oh, yes, I got it up here. Okay.
Podcast impresario, Scott Aukerman.
Funny.
The best.
Funny. I just watched a trailer and was. Not often that you laugh out loud in the watching the 2 minute. I mean, you get the gist and some things work better than others, yeah. But very nice. Good to see you, Scott Aukerman. Have a seat and put your headphones on. Podcast, Comedy Bang Bang, of course.
Of course.
Of course. And we'll get you all up
on
that.
This is a rocky chair.
Oh, you definitely got the bad chair.
I think you got the
bad
chair.
Thank you so much for that. We save that for guests.
There's something they don't tell you about commercial office chairs or stools. They don't tell you that they slowly self-destruct immediately upon using them. And then, duct tape and stuff falling off the back.
You know how, like they say, the car starts to lose value the moment you drive it off the lot?
Yes.
The office chair starts to lose structural integrity.
The second you finish assembling it, it starts to degrade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's good to see you, Scott.
Good to see you.
Great job.
I have no opinion on that last bit.
It was a well-honed, well-crafted comedy that we were working on.
I was fixing the chair, so I did not have an opportunity to chime in. Hello.
Between Two Ferns is available on Netflix September 20th. Scott directed it. And I got the pre-whatever, there was way too much going on with my computer. I couldn't download it. I couldn't figure out the code and the this and the that. I just watched a trailer, laughed my ass off.
Need.
I know exactly what this movie is. And it's filled with everybody. Is this one of these things? There's certain shows you have to beg celebrities to come on board, and then there's other shows like Hot Ones on the internet that people, celebrities want to do.
Right.
I feel like Between Two Ferns, they want to do.
There's a certain amount of begging. I would say the 2-3 years after we had Obama on the show, there was no begging, and we could have gotten anyone.
Right.
And then now we have to beg people. So,
it was a good window.
Yeah, we had a great run. I think we only put out one episode in that 3 years. But it was actually, we have like 25 huge stars in the movie, and it took some cajoling to get some of them in, but we're really happy with the group that ended up being in it.
Is Zach living on a farm somewhere?
No, in fact, he used to live on a farm, but from what I understand, he just sold it not a day ago. So he
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is he
breaking news?
Where is he then? I mean, he kind of went I don't know. He's known as the White Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came in town,
had a bunch of talent, had a bunch of success, and then he left. He kind of went out of town.
Yeah.
And now he's back?
He doesn't really like Hollywood all that much, even though he has a house here. But, yeah, he doesn't like the whole scene. He doesn't like – I mean, I remember when The Hangover came out, and he was invited to, I think, present at the Oscars. And he was like, no, why would I? I was just thinking, here I am, like, schlepping around writing for the Oscars or writing for the Emmys. And, like, he can just turn it down and go, like, I don't have any interest in that. It's a nice lifestyle for him.
Well, we should make a list of, like, the all-stars of, like, who've came to Hollywood, had a great career, and then right in the middle decided, I'm moving elsewhere. I'm still going to work, but I'm going to, George Lucas, or, like, Daniel Day-Lewis. Who won an Oscar, and then was like, I'm moving to Italy and becoming a cobbler for, like, 5 years.
Well, Zach also threatens to retire all the time. Mm. And at one
He's
point,
like Kiss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, including the makeup. And at one point, he was saying this was his last film, and then he took 2 months off, and I saw him the other day, and he's like, so what about a sequel?
Yeah, I like Zach. And, if you really take a look at a guy like that, you realize it is such a marathon and not a sprint.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's career started off, and then he had like a show on Comedy Central, but it wasn't really getting traction. And we had him on the radio show a few times, and like things weren't happening, and then things exploded. I mean, it's really.
It just takes a long. Anyone work. I mean, I used to listen to you on K-Rock back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Mid-90s.
Mid-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes so long to get stuff going. But once you can kind of get in there, it's nice that he has the ability to sort of dip in and out the way the rest of us can't.
Yeah, well, the guys who move away, like the great actors or the great directors, if you're not doing TV, you can do it. You know, if you're doing TV, you kind of need to be here.
It's your day job.
To do it. It's got a lot more day job in it than people think. And then radio is like manual labor's day job.
Right. But then you can be like Bean and just move away to wherever he moved.
Puget Sound or wherever.
Well, Bean, of Kevin and Bean, K-Rock radio fame.
I was talking about Mr. Bean.
Oh, wow.
Oh, were you? I could have been.
About the same story.
For a millisecond, I was like, that is a joke. And then for a millisecond later, I'm like, where does that guy live? And then
they have very similar biographies.
Yeah, Bean moved away. Bean moved to sort of an island-esque area off of Seattle. I've been to his house. It's a funny thing.
Weird brag.
Yeah. No, he put up cabinets at his house.
The reason it was a different house. But the weird brag of Bean's house is Bean said, oh, God, what's his wife's name? Maria?
I don't know.
God, I'll think of her name. Anyway.
Rice?
Bean.
Bean's and Mrs. Bean?
Frijoles. Rose Campoya. He said, Tina's coming by and she's bringing the kids. And I was like, Bean, you hate kids. Like, you had kids? I guess you moved away and you started a family
a
or something.
Life, yeah.
And Donna's her name. And Donna came trucking in with two pigs. And I was like, bingo.
There it is.
Bingo. Yes. That's right on. Wrong. Right on brand.
Yeah.
So then he moved to New Orleans, I guess, and now he's moving.
Now England? Is that where
now
he is?
Now he's going out of the country.
Yeah. Drive time show for him.
Yeah. So what about you, Scott? Where did you start off? What was the plan? Was there a plan?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to be a writer. So I wrote plays in college, and I was doing musical theater, and I was either going to be like a Broadway actor or a playwright. And then I moved to LA, and I wrote a TV pilot, like a one-hour drama, and I gave it to my friend, Maleva. And I remember the day she called me up and was like, I just hate this. You just are not a good drama writer. She goes, but you're a really funny guy. Why don't you like try stand-up comedy? And she had a friend who was doing a show at the Comedy Store who very nicely let me on. And so I went up and tried it back in 1995 and did a really weird duo act with my partner. We were called the Fun Bunch. Which was ironic because there was never a bunch. We always said that like most everyone had to drop out just before the performance, and it was just right. The two of us, but it also was never fun.
Right.
It would end up with us inevitably end up with like him peeing in my mouth or one of us crying and getting upset or sodomizing the other one.
Hold on, I'm getting too messy. Keep going.
You're almost
any
there?
Defecation?
Yeah, there was some of that.
Okay, we're almost there.
So, but I was really... We were kind of inspired by Bob Odenkirk and David Cross, who were around town putting together the shows that would eventually become Mr. Show. And so this scene that I kind of happened to luck my way into, they were part of it. And so Bob Odenkirk took a liking to me and just kind of like shepherded me through how to become a comedian and then gave me a job on his show writing.
Does this statement ring true for you as I've now... been around since the mid-90s and I take a look at the names that are on that are in the film and I see Jimmy's name and so many names guys have known for a long time. Does this make sense to you? If you are moderately talented,
I'm listening.
And you are moderately sober.
You're out.
Oh, so close.
And you're not a colossal douche. You just kind of hang in and sort of stay with it. You will find a place. You will not be Will Ferrell,
right.
But you will find... I mean, it's like I did the Comedy Central roast last weekend. I walked in to the theater. It was good. And I walked in there and I just saw a handful of guys I used to work with on the Man Show and in the writer's room and a handful of other guys. And they go, oh, remember we worked together on the late night, whatever. And they're like, they're there.
Yeah.
They're just around.
Working.
I'm sure they're not billionaires, but they're just working. And
it's sort of like that. I think it is interesting that the people that I started out with, we were all sort of kicking against the mainstream, and we all hated the mainstream comics like Tim Allen or whatever, and would make fun of hacks and stuff like that. And then slowly but surely, all of them became these huge successes. You know, Bob Odenkirk, I saw him at a wedding recently, and he was like, hey, buddy, what are you going to do now that your show's over? And I was like, I don't know.
He's
like, well, why don't you just, you know, become a dramatic actor? Like, it's the easiest thing in the world.
Why don't you try a movie?
Yeah, exactly. But I think a lot of it, some people do give up, and I'm always fascinated by the people who, I ran a stand-up show at the UCB Theater here for 10 years, and just eventually people would drop out and move away, you know? And I think it's interesting, but I also think that, you know, I was very lucky in the sense of Odenkirk took me under his wing. I was also like a guy and all of the writers on Mr. Show were guys, you know, and I had parents who lived in the area who could bail me out of, you know, I had my car repossessed several times and my house almost foreclosed on, but I could still get bailed out by people. So if people do give up, I see their point. They're not as lucky as I've
been. You said your parents lived in the area.
Yeah. Orange County.
Oh, Orange County.
Yeah.
Is that where you hail from?
Yes. Cypress, California. I worked at Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm. And
what did you do at Disneyland? You were a cast member.
I was a cast member. I was a character. I was several characters. Goofy, Captain Hook, Brer Bear.
Rockstar.
Well, the characters are. There's people inside them. That's
right.
What I did.
Were there more desirable characters to be? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like which ones?
So Brer Bear. Okay, I'm tall, right? I'm 6'2".
Is Brer Bear from Song of the South?
Yeah. Classic movie. You should check it out.
Wait,
you can't.
Very hard to find these days.
Short-lived character, I would imagine. Right.
And yet still, inexplicably, Splash Mountain is based on it.
That's right.
A movie that you cannot get any longer. So I'm tall. There were, I believe...
Well, there's Big Thunder Mountain, I think, Brian. Go ahead.
There's three sizes of characters. I think the smaller people were the Minnie Mouses and the Mickey Mouses and stuff. And I was the tall characters. And so... Normally, the tall characters are all these huge contraptions that are massive, and Brer Bear was the worst because it's 7 feet tall, it's very wide, you had to cinch a Velcro thing around your waist, and it would constantly knock you in the head as you walked, and they're super hot. I worked there during the summer. It would get, you know, over 100 degrees. You're not allowed to be outside talking to people for longer than 20 minutes, I think was the max.
Like a Vegas dealer. Stay 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off.
Yeah. So, and then I got lost in the park once for an hour and a half. And I'm just wandering around, sweat dripping off of my body.
Why are you in Tomorrowland?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They don't like that.
It's just whatever.
It's $4.25 an hour.
Oh, $4.25 an hour. What
this must have been 89.
This is 1988. Oh, why'd you think 89?
I know. Wild guess.
Do you know the minimum wages of every year?
I feel like it's with the same.
He's got
right.
A laminate in his wallet.
It's a quarterback wristband.
He's committed it all to memory.
Wait, this character. No one must have known who you were because you couldn't see this movie. Like, you must have been confusing people.
Your kids weren't clamoring for Brer Bear. Yeah.
No. And then one day, the guy who played Brer Fox, we would work together sometimes, and he tricked me. There's all these tricks and pranks you can play on people. So he was like, hey, check out this thing on this balcony. And he slammed the door behind me, and there's no doorknob. And so then I was stuck on a balcony just waving to people for an hour, and he wouldn't let me out. And everyone's like, Brer Bear, come down. I'm just like,
I wish I could.
So you go from there. That's where you grow up. You go to college.
Go to college, went and did musical theater for a little while around the country. Got sick of it. Moved back here and didn't really know what I was going to do and fell into comedy.
Is directing now? Well, I'm guessing they always kind of want you to do more of what you just did. So this,
yeah,
this
other
will
than
be really...
me acting in my TV show, no one else wanted to give me a TV show.
This will be funny, well received, and then you'll be asked to direct a lot of stuff. I'm guessing
I'd like to. I grew up really loving movies and loving movies like this. So it's really based on movies like This Is Spinal Tap, and Albert Brooks's Real Life was a big one that we sort of copied a lot from.
Albert Brooks and Spinal, I mean, two of the best.
Yeah.
Just the best.
Those were ones that I would return to all the time and watch over and over.
I find myself defending Your Life, which I love, and Lost in America especially as well. I had, every time I talk to Albert Brooks, that's all I tell him, and it's weird. It's weird how miserable he can be after creating those two things. But he does love it when I tell him that. I tell him that every goddamn time.
I've never met him. I would love to tell him that.
He's very much Albert Brooks in person.
It's, yeah, Modern Romance is one of the best movies of all time. It's just so good.
Yeah. But Modern Romance is funny in that it's a good movie in general, and it's funny and it's good. I found myself... I made a movie called The Hammer a million years ago, and we were sitting in an edit bay with the sound Foley guy, editor guy. And
just recreating the scene from the movie where they
that's what me and Kevin Hench were doing, but the guy had no idea what we were doing.
Right.
And we were like,
this should be Hulk
romance.
Screaming, not Hulk running.
And we were like doing the whole thing, and he's like, yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing, what this reference is.
If you're a sound guy, you gotta watch that movie.
Jesus, goddamn Christ, there's one movie.
There's one movie that deals with sound editors, and that's it.
You're in the business. Like, you can't watch, you haven't seen, the movie's been out for 15 years or 18 years at this point, and you've never queued it up over it on your DVD or anything. It's like, no.
Charlatans.
It drives me.
Yeah.
The only thing worse is when girls who have a song named after them, like Wendy or something like that, have never heard the song and have never heard of it.
Right.
That drives me nuts, too.
Like my friend Sharona. It's like, come on.
It's your friend. Only There was one good part of my entire high school experience, and it's for some fucking reason when I used to walk like from gym to the whatever. There were like three cheerleaders when I walked past them. They go, and they go, Ed Carolla. And I went like, wow, I feel good. That's the only time I ever felt good.
Three seconds.
That was it. That was my.
They had to cut off your name, though. So it's just Ed Carolla?
My nickname was Ed back then.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know why. Just kind of
never stuck
off. No, now it's just Douche Duke.
Douche Duke.
the Duke
of douches.
I decree more douche in this kingdom. So, isn't it nice that there are no, like, it's great that stuff just comes out on Netflix now, right? And that there's no, you have to have it up at a theater, or it's got to get a wide release, or whatever. It's just, stuff is just.
Did your movie come out in a theater?
God, I've done a bunch of different stuff, some documentaries and some comedies and some stuff like that. I've done like limited theater stuff and then out on Amazon and like
iTunes. I always like watching it with people, but
it is, I tell people, like, the only, not this film, but the films I make, like when you make, you know, you do a stand-up special, a one-hour stand-up special, or you make an independent rom-com or something like that. It's all work. You never make any money. The only payment is sitting in a theater watching it with people and having them laugh or enjoy or
that's why you do
away.
It. Like you're sitting there in an editing room for so long. I've watched this movie more times than any other TV show or movie in history, and you're just doing it for that endorphin rush and the dopamine for, you know, sitting in a room with people and hearing them scream with laughter. Luckily, we tested the movie several times, so I've seen it a few times with a crowd, and we have a premiere, and I'm going up to Toronto to do a screening. But other than that, it's just all going to be random people by themselves or in groups of two watching it, and I'm never going to know what they think of it. And, you know, so it's a weird time when especially comedies are kind of meant to be seen with people. Like, I used to do stuff here in town at the Senna family where I would show Albert Brooks movies or, you know, like Martin Short's Clifford and stuff because comedies are always – you can watch them on
– Clifford.
Clifford is so funny.
Okay.
But – you wouldn't know it if you just sit there watching it by yourself.
Right.
So I think if you ever have an opportunity to go out and see especially a comedy in a theater, that you should take it.
I'll tell you.
By the way, my movie's coming out on Netflix.
September 20th.
Get a group together and watch it.
Yeah. Oh, God. What is the actress's name who dated Marty Short and has been in...
Catherine O'Hara?
No, sorry. Not Marty Short. Marty Scorsese.
Ileana
Douglas. Yeah.
Who I saw at Santa Fe.
She does a thing, or she did a thing called, like, Ones You Missed or something, and I showed the hammer there, and it's like, here's a movie that was good 10 years ago. You guys have never seen it. You should see it. Let's all get together, have a few IPAs, and show it.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's fun.
I did it with Dave Foley's The Wrong Guy. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's such a funny movie. It never came out in theaters. And
where would one find it now?
It's on DVD and Blu-ray.
That's it. So you have to go order it.
So you have to go order it. But it's so funny. So I would do it with just kind of movies that people missed. And it just really makes you reappraise them in a way, you know? If you're sitting there, you know, like there are movies that I know aren't technically good, like Grown Ups, you know, like Adam Sandler's Grown Ups. Where if I see it in a crowd with 200 people laughing their ass off, I'll be like, yeah, it's pretty funny.
I think that we need that. I don't want to sound highfalutin here, but what I'm saying is don't deny yourself that experience. Like when people go, I don't know why they do this. It always drives me nuts. And they go, you get a couple of tickets. That's $80. Parking. That's another $1,800.
$40
then you got, but with this concession, there's $500. With the sitter, you're paying her.
There's a mortgage
paying
payment.
Her like Mark Darragos, billable hours. Yeah. By the time you get home, it's like $7,000. It's like, no, it's not. No. It's $60 by the time you get home, and it's worth the experience. Right. I'll just wait for it to come out on my phone and I'll watch it alone.
What, are you just going
to
sit there talking to your wife? Are you just staring at your wife for the rest of your life in your house, you know? I mean, go outside once in a while.
See a movie, see it in a communal setting. It's just better.
But that said, I do What the great thing about Netflix is that they're taking chance. I don't know that we could have made this movie and have it come out in theaters. Mm-hmm. So they're taking chances. I mean, Ted Sarandos over at Netflix is a huge comedy fan. And he did the – Netflix did the very first – their very first Netflix original was with Zach. It was something called The Comedians of Comedy with Patton Oswalt, yep. Maria Bamford, and mm-hmm. Brian Posehn. And so – they have a history together, so it was just a real easy – we pitched it to him, and he said, yeah, sure, and gave us a bunch of money to do it. And you know, so I don't know that it comes out in theaters.
Is it better in terms of – let's just say – well, put it to you this way.
Okay.
If you do – if one did a stand-up special and you said to, you know, Bill Burr, would you like it to come out in select theaters or something? Or on Netflix? He'd probably go, I'd rather have it on Netflix because a lot more people are going to see it and they'll sell more tickets and I'll right. tour it and blah, blah, blah. So ultimately, you want the communal experience.
But way more people will watch it on Netflix. I mean, the numbers right. that Netflix gets with, like, you know, that Kurt Russell Christmas movie or right. The last Adam Sandler thing are, like, astronomical. Like, I think the murder mystery thing, 70 million people watched it in the first month, which mm-hmm. is, like, if they pay $10 a ticket, that's Avengers territory.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So I just want people to see it. I want people to enjoy it and, you know.
Right.
Have
Wait,
a laugh.
What is Box? What's the? What was the?
Bird Box.
What was Bird Box?
Bird Box. Yeah, yeah. Was a phenomenon, of course.
Was Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix.
Yeah, I mean,
Sandra Bullock.
I know the guy made that, and then Chris Morgan. It's like,
oh really?
Kajillions of people watched it.
Yeah,
and that's good for him.
Yeah, good for movies in a way. in a way, but yeah,
I
it's
agree.
Cool.
It's good for movies in a way.
Yeah.
In one way.
So what in Comedy Bang Bang, of course, the podcast, a perennial all-star.
10 years. How long has yours been on?
10 years.
10 years. We were around the same time, weren't we?
When did you – what?
May 1st of 2009.
Oh, so we started in
Your first
February?
One was February, late February. It was
you
after the radio show was canceled.
To it.
I beat you by months.
No, but we've been like sort of doing parallel tracks for a while, you far more successfully.
I don't think of myself as far more successful than anybody, but I think
love yourself, Adam. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Ad
Corolla.
I don't have any feelings about myself, which is good and bad, but mm-hmm. it's fair. You know what I mean? I'm a good
I think you could err on the side of appreciating your career.
Yeah, well, I will say this.
I'm getting knowing looks from your collaborators.
No, I am burdened. Mm. I am burdened with so much daily pedestrian total bullshit that I can never really enjoy my celebrity life because I get emails saying the realtor needs you to go put a smoke detector up in the bathroom of the hall and she needs it today. Like I get a lot
from your rental properties.
I get so much just pedestrian shit that I'm always kind of grounded.
You can't enjoy your wealth and celebrity because you're too busy tending to your rental properties, which are bringing in a lot of money.
You know.
I'm liking this line of questioning.
I see what you've done there. But yes, the answer.
Okay.
The
answer. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Get
Fondelier on the phone. Get Fondelier in here, my assistant, and just ask him like how much daily shit that I deal. I just deal with piles and oodles of like daily shit.
And I bet and so your assistant deals with exponentially more.
But he's not a celebrity. He's a little person.
Right.
Well, he's not a little person.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, he's more than a beast.
He's an underling.
Underling.
Here, Brian. Jesus.
Pat, how much of my day is just good old-fashioned grounding?
It is more than 50% of the day.
Really?
I mean, I've got things that I would like to talk to you about that involve our, you know, moving this project forward here in this building, but it's always about the houses or getting an
what
iron.
About a second assistant or a rental property manager?
I'm trying to make money
assistant.
Here, Scott, okay? I'm trying to make some money here. I can do it. I
mean, I'm saying divvy your salary up between two people.
How dare you?
We bought an iron the other day.
What?
That was a beautiful day.
You're a celebrity. Why are you buying irons? This is beneath you.
I don't know how to. My thing is I need things, and
I'm the kind of guy who buys irons.
No, I'm the kind of guy.
No, I'm the kind of guy who buys
Matt's
irons.
Matt's the kind of guy.
Who are you?
I underwrite his irons.
You point at one in a catalog.
It's the funniest thing Matt's ever said.
I live a very pedestrian life.
Well, you're down to earth. Is that what you're saying?
I'm neither here nor there.
Do you enjoy that stuff, though? Is that something where you're like, I get to buy an iron? I mean, you have a background in this stuff.
Here's the way I'm wired. I was sitting around like last Saturday, and I was like, I got to do this Alec Baldwin roast at the
Saban
Theater tonight. And I was like, okay, I got to get through that. And then Sunday, football, dudes, beer, warehouse, I'm in.
Right.
So I was like, I got to get through this.
I don't know what the warehouse refers to.
There's another warehouse. A man of humble means.
Okay. We've established I've owned multiple properties, okay. Commercial as well.
Sure.
So
it just seemed like a weird thing to put in the middle of all those, not knowing that you own the warehouse.
I am looking forward to, we're sitting in one warehouse, so I gave you a little
now
context.
I understand. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting together with a bunch of dudes, drinking beer, and watching football on Sunday.
Those are the spoils of your victory, and the work that you have to do in order to get there is an irritant to you.
The one thing I do think about, and I try to remind myself on a semi-regular basis, is when I was sitting with Mark Sweeney, who is the director of Acme Theater a million years ago, when I had built the old Acme Theater on Lancashire in NoHo, which is still there. And then they moved over the hill and opened a new one.
On La Brea, right?
Yeah. And I was just sitting there with him one of these days, and I went, I don't know, like I'm just banging my head against like the comedy wall. What do I do? I said, do you see me as a performer or a writer? And he's like, you need a job where you just talk all day. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not a job.
Right.
They don't have those jobs. And he's like, I know, but that's what you need to do. And I'm like, yeah, well, this is discouraging for me because I'm thinking about a career, and you're not saying sitcom or stand-up or staff writer. You've made up a job where you sit and complain all day.
Right.
And somebody pays you.
But then suddenly podcast technology was invented.
Here we are.
So we can do it.
One, it would be wise for guys like me to every once in a while to stop and go, this fantasy job from 1991 that this guy was making up where you sit and complain all day and somebody pays you, you now do that.
All of the dominoes that had to fall in order for that to come true is so incredible. Just the fact that the technology exists now and that people listen to podcasts and they're popular and you can make a living at it and you can buy as many warehouses as you desire.
Well, a baker's dozen, maybe.
Oh, the only 13 warehouses.
Yeah, I let a lot of things happen. I needed Jimmy to take pity on me in 1994. You know, there's a lot of technology. Yeah. There's an emotional component to it as well. Like, yeah, but it is interesting, and I think it's you know, you tell me what you think. It's a great time to be creative because of all the outlets. On the other hand, everyone has all the outlets and is being creative, and there's so much.
It's hard to make
noise. Yeah, it's hard to make noise.
I mean, so it's, you know, I started the podcast company Earwolf 9 years ago, co-created it, and because my show's been going for 10 years, we just have accumulated all of these listeners, but it's hard for a new show to sort of break through, you know? So now it's kind of turned into, I'm sure you read the article about Conan O'Brien being the pod father now and the guy who started podcasting.
a year and a half ago?
Yeah, he's done 12 shows in the last 3 months. You know, you have to be a celebrity almost to have a successful podcast now, and which is unfortunate because, you know, that's the great thing about podcasts is anyone can have one, but it's the bad thing about podcasts is anyone can have one, and how do you get, you know, recognized out there? And what I found is just you've got to just keep doing it and word of mouth. Word of mouth is the greatest advertising.
Or you finish every title with A Mother's Nightmare, and then you get ears.
Really?
So whatever your podcast is, you make it about A Mother's Nightmare.
Comedy Bang Bang. A Mother's Nightmare.
Yeah, we work in some... Someone has to be abducted.
Okay, the 11th season.
In broad daylight, in anywhere town.
Yeah, I know you got a hard out, but
not that hard.
I don't.
Or you want me to leave?
No, I don't.
I know you have to get going.
I don't feel like, I don't know where you're at. Like a few people forwarded me the Conan O'Brien thing and went like, oh, come on. And yeah. I don't really have a like, oh, come on feel about it. I have a sort of like, I get it. They're Rolling Stone and that's
I
what
I benefited
they do.
From having a podcast in the early years and getting so much good press that I don't begrudge anyone getting press. The AV Club used to review our podcast every week and do a, you know, talk about it every week, and they reviewed my TV show every week. There are great cheerleaders out there for what I do, so I just found it funny, the point of view to be funny, but it's not where I'm sitting there going like, man, I wanted that article, because they, you know, so many places have written articles about me, and I get to do things like be on this show, and it's great. I have no complaints.
Yeah, I agree, and there's also...
That your show's great.
yeah, I agree with that. Anyway, wrapping up. No, you can't go through life just sort of tallying up the
points.
Articles you were left out of yeah. and ignoring the ones mm-hmm. you were put just in.
I always think of the Elvis Costello lyric, I don't want to be first, I just want to last, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, when you're starting off in your 20s or whatever, you can be so much like, hey, how come I didn't get that spot on that show and this person did? And it's always a competition. And I think at this point, it's just like, I want to keep having a career and I want to not be forcibly retired mm-hmm. in the next few years. And I want to keep doing stuff. And as long as that happens, I'm fine. I don't need to like score above anyone else.
The one thing I would try to impart to any young person in this business, but almost any business, is when you're 26, you really think it's a sprint. Like you're so mm-hmm. jacked up, all like, what about this? What's next? What's next? What's next? You blink your eyes and it's like, Jesus Christ. I met Jimmy Kimmel 25 years ago.
Right.
And when I met him, I was probably like, what are we doing next week? Like, what? Right. You know, and now you realize, oh no, it's slow and steady.
It's
relationships, mm-hmm. consistency. Like, it is a more than a marathon.
Yeah. And if you're lucky enough to get to do it for 25 years like us, it stops being important anymore of you know, I mean, I say that having won two Emmys.
What?
So, you know, the minute I won my first, I was like, I no longer have to focus on this anymore. But if you haven't won the two Emmys that I've won, I understand if you still want one.
Give me a warehouse if you give me an Emmy.
Like, really?
Well, I don't need all my warehouses, and you obviously don't deserve or need.
Are all your warehouses filled with guys and beer?
I'll clear them out.
Okay.
Or bring a few in. Bring some ringers in, however you roll. But yeah, that Emmy would look good at my mantelpiece.
Mm. You never won one for the man show?
How dare you?
That's funny.
They're all Peabody's.
You are funny.
No, I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
Oh, I don't know. Just advice to young people. If
yeah,
I had advice for young people, it would be get out of the business. I don't need the competition anymore.
You say lucky enough to be. I don't feel that way. I feel like you get up and you go to work every day.
No, you have to work. But I also don't want to discount the fact that you know, I had advantages that other people don't have, and there was truly a lot of luck. Now, I made sure to capitalize on the luck, but I have friends who are just as talented as I am who haven't had the luck. And so, I don't know. I do feel lucky about it. I really do.
Well, I know, you know, whenever somebody says to me, oh, you've worked with everybody, you know, who's the funniest person? You know, I always go, I could tell you the name, but you wouldn't recognize it.
Right.
And yeah, I think most comedians kind of feel that, like we all know yeah that guy. But I think that guy, at least in my world, he kind of fucked up a lot. Like, he
didn't work as hard as you. I think that's the myth of...
Forget, leave me out, Kimmel. I've just right seen what Kimmel does. Like,
yeah,
I met Kimmel, he was working, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude was like 26 and a half when I met him. He was working.
Yeah.
And he's never stopped working, you know. I mean, he was at the radio station at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
He was editing tape with a razor blade.
And I'm a workaholic, too, and Zach always says that about me. He's like, you really need to take a break and stuff. But I think that you can become very successful without working very hard, but I don't know that you can stay successful without working really hard.
Yeah, he sent me a I don't know, a text like last Friday, like before the roast. And he's like, oh, man, sorry. What do you got? Give me your script. What do you got? Give me the jokes.
Really? And he's helping you out.
Send them all over to Jimmy.
Oh, that's
and
so nice.
2 hours later, he sent back a whole script.
That's great. John Mulaney did that with us for the Emmys, too. Like, just when I wrote for Andy Samberg as the host. Just, hey, can I help out? And just sending jokes and taking a look at the script. That's the great thing about comedy, I think, is we're all, I don't know if that's your experience, but we're all like pretty supportive of each other, and especially the people that we've come up with. You know, I know that I can like call up Patton Oswalt if I ever need someone to, you know.
Put your beer on?
Yeah. When I'm in my warehouse.
Like when to sit your beer down, but there's not a table nearby.
There's so much beer and dudes here. But
so I love Patton Oswalt. But I mean, I don't know. He was doing his show the day he sent me back like four pages of stuff. So,
well, he loves you.
Yeah, but he does. But he's a hard worker. Yeah. Like he doesn't stop working. Yeah. And I don't mean it in a weird ignore your family driven way. I just mean it like
that's a setting. Yeah.
The sun is shining. Mm-hmm. Let's make some hay.
I think you should try to work that hard and never try to take your talent for granted, because it can just go away.
And also you're writing jokes about Caitlyn Jenner's dick.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's not like, it's like putting a roof on.
He's doing his show. He goes out for 45 minutes and jokes around. Come on. Yeah. It's not like he's really working.
That's true. Fuck him.
Fuck him.
All right. Between Two Ferns, the movie, finally available September 20th on Netflix, directed by Scott. And Scott, whatever you direct next, come on in.
Thank you.
And
maybe there's a part for you.
Ooh.
Now we're talking.
I don't know. There could be.
Could be.
What's a dream role that you've always wanted to be?
Cantankerous podcast host?
Guy who sits?
Loved son.
Loved son. Yeah. I don't know. I have a weird relationship with the business and acting and stuff, but I decided to be sort of like proactive, pro acting, which is funny. So I'll just tell you a little weird little sidebar. So just did the roast, and Larry David is sitting at a table at the edge of the thing.
Did he do it?
No, he's just there. He's just there, and I love Larry David, and I love Curb, and I love all things Larry David. And so I'm kind of looking at him like, I know this guy. I better be funny. And then when I was done, he was like, wave me over.
He waved you over to the couch?
I was at the couch. He was like at the table. And he was like, hey, man, I love your stuff. I was like trying to think of all of it. And he's repeating jokes back to me and stuff like that. And I go, oh, my God, this is the greatest day ever, Larry. So then I'm talking to a friend of mine like 3 days later. And my friend is like not a comedian, but he's kind of a business guy. And I go, God, I talked to Larry David. He loved my stuff. It was the best day of my life. What a lovely encounter. And he goes, you should contact Larry David and strike up a conversation. And I was like, oh, he doesn't want to talk to me.
I'm embarrassed that same way, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? Reach out to him. You just saw him. He loved your stuff. He waved you over. Now reach out to him. And I was like, could I do that? How does that work? And so I talked to Mike August, and I go, can you get hold of Larry David? And he goes, okay. And somehow he calls Larry David's office, and then Larry David picks up the phone, which freaked out Mike because he thought he's going to get like the secretary. Now he's like, oh, hey, I'm my friend Adam Carolla wants to say hi. And he's like, tell him to call me.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is maybe you and I shouldn't be like, oh, Larry David doesn't want to talk to you. Maybe we should be like, why don't you call Larry David?
Well, that's exactly how you got on the roast. Did you learn nothing from 2 days earlier? He wasn't going to do it. And then he said, you're friends with Baldwin. Tell him.
I think it would be funny if it turned out it wasn't Larry David. It was some other bald weirdo. You just like.
It was Ichabod Crane or Ebenezer Scrooge or whoever. All right. Let me just hit Castrol Edge. What do you got there? Adam Carolla, you can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions. Brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times,
stronger
fool. Stronger cool against viscosity breakdown. What do you got, Max Patty? Got a question?
Yeah, Tat Crows on Twitter wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge. If your garage caught fire and you could only save your Paul Newman Porsche or Chris Locke's Mana, which racetrack would you drive to on your way out?
Oh, it's rhetorical.
And he had to read it?
Yes. I do have a 3-car garage, but none of my Newman Racing cars reside there. They're in one of my multiple warehouses. But I'll again, you give me an Emmy.
I think it would be an equitable trade. I really do. One warehouse for an Emmy. I mean, it's how expensive is a warehouse running these days? It's got to be a couple mil, right? Well, depending on what is it, all in the area, Glendale,
various sizes.
Yeah, what square size footage thing? But I mean, you're not going to find anything for under $1 million.
Yeah,
what's an Emmy run?
They're priceless.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, this isn't a daytime Emmy, is it?
Oh no,
not local.
Not local news. Oh, okay. No, this is a pure. Sure, it was on the Creative Arts Emmy night, but it's considered to be an actual Emmy.
Half a warehouse.
There's so many Emmys now; they have to divvy it up between two nights. It's real.
Do people ask, like, when they see the Emmy? Or do they think that's like uncouth? You know,
they
what I mean?
Get very impressed by it. My wife entertains a lot because she has an organization called Los Angeles, which all of the Lao people from Laos here in LA are all banding together. She's from Laos. And everyone is so starstruck by it. They walk in and they go, whoa!
Well, it's also bigger than them.
Yeah. Come on. Now, that's not the kind of joke that I can make.
But I can. All right. What I say? Scott, Between Two Ferns.
Check it out. It's a funny movie. I guarantee you, you'll laugh. You didn't watch it.
All right. We'll take our... look, the trailer. I played the trailer in front of 5 guys. There were guys who weren't looking at the screen who were sitting on the other side of the desk who were laughing at
them. Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, so.
Which warehouse was that in?
God,
number
could
7
be yours,
or
number 7?
Number 9? I know it's an odd number.
That's
11?
A good room.
It's a tough room.
Yeah,
but
tough, but
fair.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with RJ Bell right after this.
$25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for the 5th month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a 9-ounce jar of TBJ Gourmet's Bacon Jam, perfect for bread, burgers, and every other food on planet Earth. A world championship of guacamole avocado slicer, plus the recipe card for last year's gold medal guac. A copy of Mistrial by Mark Garrigus. Of course, a bottle of Mangria or 33 wine. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find a golden ticket. That's right, one lucky winner will be invited to a morning of Sunday football at the coveted Corolla Car Museum. Sign up at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25 and cross your fingers because you and a guest may be watching the games with Adam and his regular football Sunday crew. So prep your mails box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Saw a freeway sign, one of those electronic freeway signs, and it says, "I almost forgot to buckle my seatbelt, but then it clicked." Oh my God, that's funny.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, RJ Bell's with the mooch somewhere, so we'll keep moving on. I have a tearjerker of an omelet story.
Oh, no.
Did you break some eggs?
I also have a story. Oh, Dr. Drew. I don't know. Let's make fun of Dr. Drew.
What I do now.
Tell you my omelet story. Dr. Drew, as you guys know, likes to stare at his phone while I do a thing with him. Now, there's a couple conversations I have with Dr. Drew. We have a rich history, which is we did a show called Loveline for a long time, and the management always thought that Dr. Drew was sort of the important component of the show and that my position was more replaceable.
Well, Jester.
Yeah, the management felt that way. The fans, the listeners, the employees.
At the end, his contract was three times more than mine.
And three times, fool.
They were just going to go, let's get old man Carolla out of there and get some young kid in there who's funny, and we'll roll calls. And it didn't really work out, is what I want to say. But I've always been sort of favored nations with Drew, except for when he was making three times more than me. But I've always kind of told him, listen, I don't want to have to pedal the bike twice as hard because you're traveling or you're whatever. You can't just stare at your phone when you're making money in New York and I'm here holding down the ship. I need you in participating. So I'd made fun of I'd gotten into this with Drew a lot. The only more frustrating part of this is when I do 80% of the talking, and then I say to Mike August, do me and Drew get paid the same for this podcast? And he goes, oh, no. And I go, we're not splitting the money? And he goes, well, you get extra money because it's your studio. And I go, yeah, I know. I get a $80 a month extra stipend because it's my studio. But are we getting paid the same? No, you get more because of the studio. Okay, Mike, I understand the
infrastructure aside.
I've wrapped my head around the thought of the concept of electricity and equipment and things like that. But I'm saying, with that carved out, are we getting paid the same? And he's like, well, no, you're getting more because of the studio. And I'm like,
so
okay.
Yes.
Yes, we're getting paid the same. All right. He goes to New York to make money. I hold down the ship. I've told him, stop staring at your phone. We're doing a podcast. Mexipat took me ranting and railing for 3 minutes. And you tell me what Drew's contribution is to this exchange. And you tell me if you think he's standing up and in a poised position or scrolling through his phone. You tell me what you picture him doing.
We'll be fair.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. First it's New York Times complaining and evolving. Those are my the complaint is when when a politician that's in their early 70s says they've evolved on an issue from 2011 when they were 63. I'm like, how much evolving? Right. Did you evolve or did someone tell you to change your thoughts on it? But anyway, go ahead. Evolved on an issue after they were the age of 50?
Right.
What have you evolved? What issue? You know what I mean? Like, what don't you believe now that you believed when you were 53? You know what I mean? Right. Fuck you. Right. These guys are all lying. Of course they're lying. You don't change. You believe what you believe, for good or for bad, but that's what you believe. Once in a while, you get a new piece of evidence or information, or, you know, Vinny Tortorich starts talking about protein and fats and saturated fats. You go, oh, okay, I've learned something. But that's scientific. What issue have you evolved on? You know, it's not like, oh, well, I was for school choice and vouchers when I was 46, but now I'm 55 and I'm dead set against it. Like, really?
Right.
I've evolved. No, I haven't evolved. No. That's how you know these people don't fucking believe any of this shit. Again, Joe Biden is, what is he, 77? He's evolved since he was 64? You don't evolve. You try to get votes. You don't think a different way. No one evolves. You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about? The New York Times spent 3 years talking about Trump being in the pocket of Putin, and the next day they're calling him Klansman. Do you think they've evolved into that?
Right.
You think that's what they think? Do you think they think that? Or they just never thought about it before, and now all of a sudden the whole Russian thing is over, and now they've got new information on him being in the Klan? You think that's what they think?
Sometimes I do. I'll tell you what.
All right, dude. Take care of some business. What do you have there?
All right, let's talk about life.
Commercial.
Wow.
We come back. Hold on. So, Drew, when you were saying, oh, maybe they believe it, they don't fucking believe it. You think anyone who works at the New York Times thinks Donald Trump is a white supremacist?
How long
has Donald Trump been in New York, in the scene where the New York Times is?
Right, right. Exactly.
40 years?
Yeah.
Have they ever pitched a story about him being a white supremacist in his fucking 40 years of covering Donald Trump?
Crazy.
Drew, are you getting a blowjob right now?
No, I'm listening.
This is
I'm
just here. How you normally, this is you. This is regular this is, you?
Look, this is regular as far as I
are
know.
Are you eating a steak and being blown and no. watching SportsCenter?
None of the above, I swear to God.
Is the TV on?
No, not, the phone is not on, the TV is not on. I'm listening to you
okay.
talk about.
Do you? Thank you for listening. Drew does this all the time. I'm listening. It's like, okay, but so are the people at home. Like, I'm not paying them.
That was very clearly distracted, Drew.
It honestly sounded like Brian came in and played drops.
He was totally checked out, right? Like, I mean, he doesn't even answer any. He was like, he was clearly looking at something, right?
Right. Reading. Right.
I mean, Brian could have just subbed in.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew! Yeah. Drew, what the hell's going on with these politicians, I ask you?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. It's insane. Everybody with their policies. What's going on with these policies?
Crazy.
I mean, you think, okay, Joe Biden is against gay marriage in 2011. Now he's for gay marriage? You think that Joe Biden is for, he's actually for, he's evolved on the issue over the last 7 years?
Yeah,
thank you, because I feel like I'm out here on a fucking island just paddling in a circle. It's like I'm shouting into an empty mailbox or something, right?
Right.
Yes. Yes. God damn it, Drew. Thank you for having my back. I appreciate it. I feel like I just talk, and it just lands on deaf ears.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Oh man, it's good to have a team. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I just feel so vulnerable sometimes, and the fact that you got my back. You know, you got. In the military, you got my six. You know what I mean? That's midnight, you know, 12 straight ahead, my six. You got my back, bro, Sif. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, man. That felt good. Hey, good talk. Good talk?
Sometimes I do. I'll tell you what.
Not always a good talker. I felt like this was a good. Hold on, Drew. You didn't think this. I felt like this was a good talk, man. And I'm sorry. I just needed a purge, man. And I needed. I. You know what? You're more than a partner. You're a friend, you know? Shouldn't I get money back from him? Do we just whack up the money? We just whack it in half? Shouldn't he kick some down?
No, I'm listening.
Yeah, you know? Wait a minute. Like, I don't know. You know, like when a plumber comes over and he unclogs your drain, but he like breaks a window or something, yeah. And he goes like, you need $375.26, but the fucking window is $122, and you have to back
that. Let's just say it's $200.
We got to back that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Drew, so is that fair?
Right.
Man of passion.
No, not, the phone is not on, the TV is not on. I'm listening to you.
Jesus. Call Podcast One, tell them I want to hook up with a cat. Because I feel like as long as we're going to whack the money up, I at least I could pet the cat while I was talking.
Yeah.
It
makes me laugh so hard.
I think he got you to technicality. He said the phone's not on, the TV's on. He was on the computer.
Yeah, he was surfing.
Yeah, he was very clearly like reading an article or something.
Yeah, I get it. We're trying to do a show, and I've come in to do the show.
He looked real alive when you finally called him out.
He's in New York making money, so I feel like he should participate in the show he's getting paid for. Let's talk about corporate America, small business owners. Let's see. Someone's going to a Kentucky show. It's got some quick questions. Owes Adam an apology. Well, let's just start at the bottom and move our way up to corporate America. Hey, Shannon, 38, Corona.
Yes.
What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's happening?
I just feel like I owe you an apology for something that happened at your show at the Brea Improv in May.
All right. I'm all ears.
Okay. So I don't know if you remember, but I was the girl sitting in like front row center, and I was dressed as up like a little Chiquita banana, as you said.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a whole.
You remember?
Yeah. Well, I say Chiquita banana. Carmen.
Miranda
used to do, I think, the Chiquita banana commercials. Yep. I'm Chiquita banana, and I'm here to say, maybe Max Pat, I'll find it. But yeah, you were sitting in front. I don't know. You're filming me the whole time.
I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I really wasn't. But I'm just a big fan of yours, and you actually pulled my ball. Mm-hmm. You know, the ping pong ball topic things, you actually pulled my ball. And so I really was excited to record what you were going to say about it. And I ended up getting kicked out of the show over it. And I feel like I owe you an apology for that.
I think you got kicked out of the show because you were just filming the entire time. And people were saying,
no,
like,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And so
can I just say this really quickly? They say things in life like, hey, man, this flight's 3 hours, but you can't smoke cigarettes in the bathroom. Or this show's 90 minutes, but there's no filming of the show. And then what happens is you then do the thing the person told you not to do. And then at some point you're angered and confused when you're being asked to leave or they're diverting the flight. I don't think you should be angry or confused because it was kind of laid out in advance. Also, one can take a look at the other 200 people on the plane who aren't smoking in the bathroom and another 450 people in the club who aren't filming the act and sort of do the math.
Yeah, follow their lead.
Right, right.
Right, Drew, does this make sense to you?
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, you think it's like in Blue Velvet, where he's just sucking off an ether tank the whole time, like he's carrying a tank of ether with him. Yeah, what's that? What's that, Adam?
Yeah.
Maybe he's got a rag dipped in ether and he's right. sucking Makes off sense. It
Cider
the whole
House
time.
Rules.
Yeah. All right, Shannon. So, anyway.
Do you accept her apology?
Yes, I accept. You had a fruit salad on your head and you were filming me the entire time and I was just going to get on with the act.
How many
people? I don't know. Let me tell you guys. You know when comedians go all, you know, Pete Davidson goes all ape shit on everybody and whatever? My thing is, like, I'm showing up. I'm doing my act. It's not really – someone's sitting in the front row with a fruit salad on head, and they're filming me. Now, I can go off on that person for 10 minutes, but it's not really fair to the person in the ninth row who bought a ticket wants to enjoy
the show.
So I tend to look down, see them doing it, and then get on with the act and start versus stop and pitch a fit. You know what I mean?
Throw a tantrum.
Not because I'm not a douche, more just in that it's not fair to everyone else.
Yeah.
They're now being punished for what she's doing. Drew, is that right? But when you hit a vape pen in the fucking bathroom and instead of going to Newark, we divert to Denver, you're also punishing everyone in the fucking airplane as well. How about we just sail on to Newark and then get that guy in trouble once we get to Newark?
That'd be nice. Put the cage in.
Yes, put the cage in the plane. Steve, 49, Cincinnati.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're doing well.
You. Thanks a lot for taking the call.
Thank you.
Hey, what on earth, how does somebody in last minute end up in Kentucky with a show like the one you've got scheduled? I'm excited. I've got tickets.
That's a great question.
Thanks. There's something, and it's some gig that brings me to that neck of the woods.
Awesome.
And
us brings us to the neck of the woods.
You know we're coming with you.
It's a full show.
Yeah, sorry. There's something beyond that even that so we
you are required to be out there and thus we will all be out there.
We had a thing and okay. And anyway. So
it's a big secret. We can't hear.
It's not a big secret. It's just a bourbon
like a
barter
event.
Trail thing. It's not a secret. But the way the schedule worked out is we had Friday sort of open or Friday night open, and Mike, because all Mike does is think of money. Mike went, well, we're there. We need a podcast. Why don't we just do a live show somewhere and sell some tickets, and we'll have a podcast anyway. And we like doing those things anyway. And the club was already booked up because it was like Friday night. So the show's like a matinee, like a 4:30 matinee. And that's how it came about. Yes.
Can I say, Steve, sure. let me say something real, because it's on topic and it's timely, and I was looking for a place to say this. So we only found out about the show a couple weeks ago, or Gina and I did anyway, a couple of weeks ago. Like, oh, we're going to, at the end of September, going to Kentucky. And Tessa's birthday party was scheduled for Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, it's not at our house where we can kind of, you know, play with it. It's like one of those play spaces, you know, where it's, you got 10 to 12. That's your birthday. It. And so there's one flight out at 7 in the morning from Louisville, Kentucky. And we're all booked on that flight. It's going to get us in at 8:45 or whatever it is. But that flight, you can check on the airline website. 14% of the time, it's either canceled or delayed. And I'm like,
14%?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love, as you can check on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 86% of the time on time, but 14% of the time it's either canceled or delayed. And I'm like, you know what? If you told me there's a 14% chance of you missing your daughter's birthday, I can't take that chance. Maybe I'm a puss, or maybe I'm a really good dad, or somewhere in between. But
so, be both.
But then, that's right. Then we found out. Then I found out, a 4:30 show. There's an 8 o'clock flight out of Lexington, where the show is.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to miss the meet and greet afterwards. I apologize to everyone who's coming, but I would like to do a meetup beforehand at maybe a local bar. Any fans who want to come out and maybe get, you know, have some bourbon with me. Exactly. So, Steve, and anyone who's coming, I would love to do a before the show, take a picture, have a bourbon, whatever.
About a 13% chance yeah, that anyone's going to show up to that shit show, people. But okay.
And Steve, because you seem like you're not a serial killer, and now Brian is bailed by the person who usually makes sure I don't get assaulted after the show, somebody better show me around and show me a good time if the show gets out at, you know, 6.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm driving down from Cincinnati, so I don't know the area as well, but it ought to take no coaxing from anybody to get show Gina around, for sure.
All right.
Damn it.
Thanks, Steve. Make sure and say hi after the show, and then make sure when you go, I'm Steve, I'm the guy who called in, and I'll go, oh, yeah.
Hey, Chief.
I will. That's how it works. I don't know. Let's ask Dr. Drew, this before party, this doing a little bar hopping with Bald Brian. That sounds something that flips your cookie, Drew? I mean, it sounds pretty exciting, right? Fans getting together.
Sure.
Hoisting. And by the way, you're in Kentucky. Yeah. We're a better place to have a little bourbon, right, Drew?
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. There's going to probably be a game on the TV.
That's a good point.
Maybe get some finger food, some appetizers, a jalapeno popper, something like that, an IPA. How about it, Drew?
Right.
It's very sarcastic.
It doesn't sound as enthusiastic as I was hoping you would.
Not.
Nathaniel, 40. Michigan.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Well, this... I got a question / story, and it's going to be a little bit metaphorical and kind of generic, and it might take about a minute and a half. Is that all right?
Really selling it.
Go.
All right. So let's say a man is selling milk, and he can buy the milk a lot cheaper than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody comes and buys his milk. And then the big folks that sell milk around the corner, well, they sell milk for a little bit more. And then they get a little bit upset about the fact that you sell milk that's a better quality for a lower price.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they send somebody over, you know, to say, hey, we want you to stop selling milk. And then you say, well, you know, I'm just running a gas station here. Why don't you stop selling antifreeze and oil?
Yeah.
And then they go, you know, well, we can't do that. And I said, well, I can't do that. So then they send the... They send the chief of police over, and then he goes, hey, you got a vending machine license for that milk cooler? And then you go, well, does anybody have a license for that? I said, they pay me the money, and I give them the milk.
Crazy.
You know, and then they go on their way, right? And then they go, oh, well, we're okay. All right, good. And then they send the health inspector over to check out your milk cooler, you know.
Sure.
Make sure it's okay.
Right.
And then they go and they say, okay, all right, yep, seems to be okay. Then one of the mayors, the mayor, you know, he sends one of his lackeys over, right?
Right.
And then he
right.
goes, why don't you go and talk to the mayor? Because, you know, the mayor wants to talk to you. I said, well, the mayor is just as close to me as I am to him. just as far from there to here it is here to there, right? And then they get the president of the bank that calls you. You know, president of the bank goes, "Hey, what are you doing here?"
Crazy.
And then I go, "Okay, well, you know what? I showed up here in my car with everything that I owned in the back seat, and I still can get in my car and I can just go."
Right.
And then he goes,
right.
"Oh, no, we don't want you to do that." And then, who was it after that? I'm losing track of the story here. But anyway.
Hold on, Brian.
Drew will help you.
You know, I need you to come to my house with Drew. I mean, virtual Drew, because when Sonny gets into his fantasy draft and like how it's been going and what happened last week and stuff like that, I'm just going to need fantasy Drew there, you know, just because I don't want to totally. If there's a 14% chance I'd miss that conversation,
he wants to
I'd
tell
be
you
all
about
over
the, you know, number one draft, but Saquon Barkley, number one.
Yeah.
And then Leonard Fournette was available in the second round.
Yeah.
All right. Nathaniel, thank
all right,
you.
We got this. All right. So then the milk company comes and they take the cooler back and they say that we had a cord injection and we went out of business. And you can't buy milk from us anymore because now it all has to be the same price for everyone.
Right.
Okay.
So then what do? You can't, what, you can't fight the big boys, you know, if you're just the middleman. And it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. Even true.
Yeah, well, you move a different direction.
I don't know. Do you sell anything? Or what do you do for a living, Nathaniel?
Well, I'm a carpenter.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, finish.
I'm a carpenter, and I sell a lot of stuff.
Rough, finish?
Excuse me, sir?
Rough or finish?
I am the best carpenter that I've ever seen, and I don't say that with any sort of arrogance. It's just the truth as far as I understand it.
So rough and finish.
Uh-huh. You're the best blind carpenter in all of Michigan?
I believe that I am. Well, I've built a lot of curved staircases. I understand a lot of laminations. So I'm really good at finishing. I understand seam bending. I understand floor finishing, framing, rough, everything.
What kind of joint? If you were doing baseboard and you were doing an inside corner, how would you do that?
I would cope it.
Okay, you know what you're doing.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
You'll be just fine.
Yeah. All right. A little less talking, a little more nailing.
Well, you know what? I bust my ass about probably.
I like this guy. If he's telling me he's doing radius work on staircases, that's insane.
It's a big deal. Do you do that? You done that?
No. That's too hard for me. That's a specialty. All right. Let me hit Geico.
Sometimes I do. I'll tell you what.
Why is this so funny? What's so funny about this? I mean, it's me talking and Drew checked
it's
out
the perfect,
completely.
The perfect timing of the drops, I would say, probably is the reason we're all.
Why was the whole 3-minute clip so funny? What is it? Just because Drew's totally checked? It's a perfect illustration of how goddamn checked out he is.
Because it kept going. It was
talking.
The same.
Yeah
exactly.
That was exactly right. I was surprised every time it would happen again.
Mm-hmm. The relentlessness of the.
I was within my rights to ask him if he was getting his dick sucked, right?
Yeah. Right.
All right, he's a professional broadcaster. He gets paid to broadcast.
Okay. To weigh in.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right. RJ's back. Yes. Is that true? No.
He's not on the line yet, no, but he has emailed me. He wants to come back.
Okay, let me do it. Let me hit Geico and we'll figure this out. Everyone's got the to-do list, and how about... You save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. About 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That is Geico. Geico.com. All right, we got a call. We'll hold over. Wants to talk about the lady kicker in college.
Oh, is it somebody else?
Cardi B?
Yeah, talking about all that stuff. I'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.